But of course it is.
Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman affecting an accent.
Was she affecting an English accent when you met up with Phil Leonis and Lily Holloman back earlier this year, Camo?
I didn't meet up with Lily, just Phil.
Well, there you go.
Well, Lily wanted to sleep in.
You see, these are the kind of critical aspects there. So the big question.
They're from L.A. They're from L.A. They don't know what early mornings are like.
I couldn't possibly comment, Kevin. But moving on from there, before we actually have an all-night party, are you doing with the horse on your... I mean, it's nothing... I mean, it's just you're wearing a white hat. The horse is looking quite calm. Are you actually preparing its stirrup? Are you looking... what's the official line, the technical term for what you're doing?
No, that was back in... I think it was April. It was just a spectacular day riding through the Tennessee Hills. I was riding with my buddy Lee, and we just stopped for a break, give the horses a chance to graze a little bit. And we got a signal on the phone, so I was just there checking email.
You're checking email. Nothing to do with home on the range at all. Just actually the quintessential suburban cowboy there, checking your email for, of course, the delights of Nashville Access, TV's Young Country, and live from Nashville on Siren FM in England. Oh, that's us. So share with us, whilst we obviously congratulate all the fabulous students that you, some of whom you've spoken to in times past, like Claire and Mary Dempsey and Claire Margeris, and that was, and even Emma Tinson could have probably up there getting graduated and being formally sort of invested with the wonderful joys of being full graduates.
Yeah.
What magical music have you actually brought to us today?
We're finding a lot of great music in Texas, and it's no surprise to me. These guys have been around for a while. This is, I can't remember how many album this is, but they're an independent band, like many in Texas are. Don't have a label, don't want a label. They're just doing things their own way. And their brand new album called All Night Party debuted on the Billboard Country Music Charts here in the U.S. at number 3, which is ridiculous for an indie. They're just a really terrific band. It's Casey Donahue and the Casey Donahue Band. You're going to really like this. This song is called Kiss Me. Casey Donahue is on Siren FM.
Never seem to be alone, can't find a stepping stone, and this went better when I...
You're open to steal my heart, and I'm waiting on you to kiss me. Waiting on you, waiting on you, waiting on you to kiss me. Waiting on you, waiting on you, waiting on you to kiss me.
Could of course be waiting for a long time, but then again, who knows? It's Casey Donahue, Kiss Me. I liked it, Cameron. It builds. It is sort of a slow build up there, but it sort of pedaled along quite nicely. Almost music to cycle by, as opposed to drive by, I would have said. Really, got to keep it going. Maybe ride by as well. Really, I can see horses galloping along in time to Casey Donahue and Kiss Me. Well, I mean, that's of course, would actually do that. If anybody's ever come up with the notion of having those kind of Walkman activities, set of headphones for horses, there's a thought, Camo. Could be an interesting 21st century
there
take there. Anyway, just
there you
thought.
Go.
That's several times. So what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself and Nashville Access, Camo?
Well, we just recorded our show yesterday for this week, so there's lots of great music on that, and we interview a guy by the name of David Nail, who's truly an individual in country music, so that's going to be cool. And we're actually putting together now, we're really developing kind of the video aspect of what we're doing, so we've some cool things coming your way that way. And tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a really great Facebook Live, National Access Facebook Live at 10 a.m. Central, with a young lady named Erica Bryan. Erica was produced by, we featured them a little while ago, Tommy Harden from Lost Hollow. So it's going to be a great one. So you can check us out, Facebook Live, Nashville Access, tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central.
It just gets better and better with technology developing as it is. I'm sure it'll only be a matter of time before we have holographic versions of Camo and co-presenters beamed directly into our living room. We can actually walk round that sort of individual and see you
there.
Right. It'd be awesome, very much so. Don't forget, of course, Volume 2 of Sound and Country Vision was aired last Thursday on Silent FM. So Tessa Snott hosted a fabulous show together with yourself, Camo, and Jess from Jess and the Bandits. You can listen to the whole programme in its entirety by simply actually going to the Podbean site or find actually on Facebook, Sound and Country Vision. It's relatively easy to do. facebook.com/SoundandCountryVision It's all there. Gradually working through that. People have been asking about Anna Lewis. Well, yes, I know. She's had one or two. After the fact that her son, I think, had a trip into a rabbit hole and burnt himself badly and all sorts of things, Anna this week has only suffered from influenza and she's got pneumonia as well and she's in hospital. So no Jersey correspondence, I'm afraid, Camo, just in case you're thinking. However, Edinburgh looks as though it's still standing, and William Coles will be with us, as indeed will Ace author Kerry Drury, a young adult author of A Brighter Fear and A Dream of Lights. Her new novel, Cell 7, is actually out on the 22nd of September. We'll be covering that in detail. But even though we don't have a studio co-driver, co-presenter, co-host with us, I think I can probably just about say, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Camo?
I have.
And will we be hearing from you again probably around about 168 hours from now, i.e. on September the 14th?
That's right. We'll be back again next week.
Hooray!
Yay!
Wondrous facts about Rachel Abbott, or twas her voice we actually just heard there commenting about the safety of giant lizards, or lack of safety depending on whether or not you're listening to Midweek Drive, is that she works for a splendiferous company, which I shall actually sort of not name at present, but it is a splendiferous company. One of her colleagues has actually just sent me a detail about another little feature we'll be doing next week, re the pensions market, in which case she says, I'll send you the deets, as in details. I'll send you the deets, dot, dot, dot. Has the whole English language speaking world gone crazy, William Coles? I mean, you know, have we reached the stage where I'll send you the deets is acceptable language? I mean, yeah, I think this, I've got along very well with
that. I don't think it is. I'll send you the debts. That's fine.
I send you the deets. Extraordinary. Anyway, welcome to the Midweek Drive for Wednesday, September the 7th. In case you're wondering, no studio co-presenters primarily, because if they're not already doing things like writing dissertations, if they're doing postgraduate work a la Ryan Jones, or stressed out about the beginning of the new academic year and doing lots of wonderful preparational things from that point of view, a la Katie Dore, they're actually graduating. So, as far as things, or they're not in the country at all, or out and about. Enjoying things.
So it's just the two of us. That's cosy.
Well, exactly. Yes, and the listener. I like to feel there's a third party in there. Otherwise, it's a case of we might just have a telephone call. Why invest in all this technology if we were just doing it as a two-way process? Although two-way family favourites is something which could possibly actually be resurrected, I feel, if only to actually do BFBO overseas forces, etc.
Okay.
How's Edinburgh, William?
Edinburgh is excellent. I have become a cycle rickshaw waller.
Now, this is intriguing. I mean, the reason I mention this is that this year I'm hopeful of doing the three capitals. London has been done. Yesterday I was in Cardiff, just doing a bit of external examining for the University of South Wales, in case you're wondering. Not that you would have been, but there we are. I'm hopeful that come October, of course, we'll be making it up to Edinburgh. So will there be such rickshaw things occurring in the depths of autumn in Edinburgh?
Yes, if it's fine, I'll take you out on a rickshaw and I'll try a nice flat circuit, because I can tell you, on the hills, like Dundas Street, it's middling tough. But anyway, it's good. You'd like it.
Well, it's better than actually a phrase that was used by our film critic, and indeed Radio 4, Turn 2 Person for Film Criticisms, in which he uses the phrase bewilderingly bad to describe a recently released movie. Bewilderingly bad.
Bewilderingly bad. It's like, it's bad, but you can't really put your finger on what's bad about it.
Well, no dignity. That's nonsense. And indeed, he concludes by saying that, as Sam Goldwyn once noted, a widescreen just makes a bad film twice as bad.
So which film is he talking about?
Well, I don't want to give too much away. If I said Chariot Racers, Morgan Freeman, remake of 1959.
Oh.
Yes.
Turkey. Oh,
well,
I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing. Who'd have thought it, eh? You got Morgan Freeman, the voice of the Almighty, in there. Good heavens.
Well, all right.
Yeah. But no, there was a lot of criticism. I mean, Richard will obviously vent even more tomorrow morning on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, which I believe, actually, William, you made your debut on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition before you kind of gravitated to the Afternoon Edition.
Whatever happened? Was it the fact that I was still hadn't had my coffee and was not really pepped up?
I wasn't ready for you.
No,
I think you were. I mean, we've had a couple of people who actually like to give their voice and their instruments time to actually unwind at that time in the morning and so on. I say that time in the morning. I mean, it's 8 a.m. It's kind of almost brunch time, really. But we continue. Interestingly enough, tomorrow we have the new single from the artist that you and indeed your family selected as the winner in one of our earlier song contests. That's Raivita.
Yes, not named after a biscuit.
No! We're going live to India to actually speak to Raivita and giving an airplay to her latest single that actually follows up Silent Nights that we heard earlier in the year. Add to that R. Paul Wilson, who apparently is a world-renowned expert on cheating and television presenter for The Real Hustle. And you've got, some interesting things to...
All right, cheating?
Yes.
All right, okay. Do we approve of that sort of behaviour? I mean, we approve of gamesmanship, but outright cheating.
We'll find out. We will have to find out, because clearly there is this... I mean, apparently he's going to be accompanied by money-saving expert from Quidco, Victoria Layton.
Oh, OK. What do we think, though, about throwing games for children? I'm playing a lot of tennis with my younger son at the moment, and amongst other games, is it a good idea to throw the games, or should I just be
competitive dad? Competitive dad. I mean, in a real sense, there is a premise has been set here, and indeed a precedent as well as a premise about competitive dads. Having said that, you remind me, your son again is how old?
He's 11. His name is Geordie.
Right, yeah. Difficult one. We really should actually hand it over to Christopher Webster. Christine Webster, who's our kind of major go-to analyst for that. But she's not on until the 1st in October, so we'll have to wait a bit for that.
So I've got to hold that thought for...
Hold the thought, but I think go with what your inner feelings tell you would be my advice at this stage, William.
Yes, well, I mean, my inner feeling is obviously to win, but then, you're thinking you're trying to encourage the kid, and so maybe better to throw it, because it doesn't matter if I lose anyway, and he'll have a screaming tantrum.
As long as you don't say, Geordie, that service was bewilderingly bad. Because that's not going to help. That's going to be a down.
I can say that about my own serve, can't I? After I've double-faulted for the fourth time.
There is that, actually. Yes, it is a possibility. Now, have you been inspired by the Murray legacy? I mean, is this the Andy Murray effect and, of course, the great sort of scenario that we had recently where it seemed at one stage, one brief moment, we were going to have so many British competitors involved with the US Open? It was like unbelievable.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I know I sound very young, but I think my Wimbledon dream is over, and I don't think I'm ever actually going to make it to...
veteran stage, perhaps? Wild card? Wild card for 2017,
I don't think it's going to happen, but Andy Murray, I'm afraid to say, he is a freak, and it is completely unrepeatable. You might get a lot of people, a few more people playing tennis in Scotland, but Andy is, trying to then win Wimbledon is quite a stretch on. I don't think it's going to happen for a while. I mean, they've been pumping millions and millions into tennis for the last 20-odd years, and he's the first one to come out of it, and he's benefited really from his mum's coaching, rather than the money. So, yeah, it's all about the hunger, isn't it?
I wonder,
how do you inculcate hunger into these sportsmen
and
sportswomen?
Don't feed them. What's happening? get them back to that sort of cave primitive instinct of having to hunt for themselves, really. Although there were various football managers, I think, back in the day, probably talking about the 1970s here, who believed that it was actually wrong to actually show a football to any footballer before Saturday. The rest of the week was actually running up and down sand dunes and so on. I think Jock Wallace at Rangers was one of those people.
Was the thinking behind that?
Well, then they would actually be so hungry for the ball, they would be much more competitive because they hadn't seen it because they'd spent the entire week running up and down sand dunes.
Right. Well, that's a kind of crazy idea, but was it successful at all?
I think Glasgow Rangers had a reasonable success rate back in the day before Graham Souness took over, and then, of course, all sorts of things happened. But now they're back in the Premiership, so who knows? And they might even be invited to move from the Scottish Premier League to the English Premiership. I don't know whether that's going to happen, but it has been mooted as well, but still.
It
has been mooted that they would actually join us, Celtic and Rangers, or join the English League, possibly in the English Championship, and then sort of work their way up. And the line would be that way you'd have much more opportunity for the likes of Aberdeen, Hearts and Hibernian, two of which are actually based in Edinburgh, actually taking part in a more competitive Scottish league if you took the old firm out. But then, of course, the flip side of it is, but then nobody would want to go to see the matches because obviously it wasn't for Celtic and Rangers. You wouldn't get those sort of large attendances. It's very confusing. Yeah. It's like, do you say to your son, is he actually doing well? How well do you play against him? Do you actually reach play to win? It takes us full circle.
Yeah. Do you think the Scots would want to go down to England to watch all these matches anyway?
Well, the Welsh have to come across the border, don't they? So that's just a thought there. Bless them. You know, the Principality. It was a fine, fine place. I drove up through Monmouthshire. In fact, the only sort of hazard that I actually had was coming back through Birmingham. Bad mistake. Almost. Just a bad mistake in so many ways.
You stuck on the toll, did you?
No, actually. Avoided the toll, but might as well have actually been in static gridlock traffic because of all the roadworks that they sort of set around the whole thing.
So what did you do? Did you put on a CD of your greatest hits?
You obviously could almost have been in my Rover 25 at the time, Bill. You know, it's amazing. But there we are.
I have a DJ mate like you. He works down in Somerset, and he occasionally drives up to Scotland. And he brings, when he's on the road for, whatever, 10 hours, he's got all these CDs of his old shows so that he can listen to himself burbling on.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I can't. I don't do that. I mean, I will have music.
You just talk to yourself.
In some ways, one occasionally gets a straight answer. Other times, you don't know. But I'm remiss because the young adult author of A Brighter Fear and A Dream of Lights, Kerry Drury, is awaiting to actually talk about her latest novel, Cell 7, C-E-L-L 7, in case you're wondering about some other aspect of Cell, because it's easily confused. Cell 7, and the excitement that's going to be palpable throughout Lincolnshire when that actually is released on September the 22nd.
Brilliant. Well, ask her when it's going to be turned into a movie.
Excellent question. And as it's just the two of us, well, you know it's going to be a couple of cliché questions. Have you had a reason to
interest them? I like it better from you, actually, because you always add a bit of pathos to these questions.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you really mean it. Yeah. And like you're sort of genuinely concerned that I might say I've had a hellish time. Give it your Oscar best.
I mean, is it pathos or bathos? Because these could be critical lines here. Because is it a P or is it a B?
I think it's pathos, not bathos. We don't deal in anticlimaxes.
That's very good. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, William Coles?
I have had a simply marvellous interview. Thank you so much. I want more of just the two of us.
And are you good enough and ready and set to come back in 168 hours from now or 1 week's time?
I'm licking my lips for it. Thank you so much.
She likes brandy and the way it hits her lips. She's a rock and roll survivor with pendulum hips. She's got deep brown eyes that have seen it all. Working at a nightclub that was called the IFEGOESON. What you don't have now will come back again. You got heart and you go in your own way.
The world has moved Don from the barbaric Roman gladiator. Thumbs up, you live. Thumbs down, you die. Public vote. Nowadays, the public can sway a criminal's fate by text message. For 7 days, the accused must wait to learn their fate as the votes are counted until day seven, cell seven, when the wait is over and the decision is announced on live television. Do they live or do they die? Do they live or do they die, Carrie Drury?
Oh, hello. Well, that would be up to the reader, I think.
Only a matter of days now before the 22nd of September clocks round and the original paperback Cell 7, C-E-L-L, number 7, is launched both as paperback and as an ebook, and a fantastic novel by the legend who indeed you've just heard of there, Carrie Drury. Yay! So tell us about Cell 7, Carrie. First time a teenage girl is in Cell 7, an adored celebrity TV presenter has been found dead, and 16-year-old Martha was found holding a gun standing over the body. It sounds as though it could almost be a theme for The Blacklist, which we'll be talking about in a few moments with Tara Bennett. But what's it all about?
Well, it's a new direction, really. It's a thriller for young adults, and it's based in a society where the death penalty hasn't been abolished, but has evolved into a system where the public gets to vote on it. And it's really thinking about our obsession with media and celebrities and things like that, and playing on that. So handing justice over to people to vote for.
Now, earlier, of course, you organised a hugely successful UKYA, that's UK Young Adults, extravaganza at Birmingham Waterstones, tickets for which sold out in less than 24 hours. You've been a full-time coordinator for Bookstart, for Book Trust, a finalist in a BBC script writing for children competition, and indeed holder of a first-class honours degree in professional writing. And you're coming to Linden Books, I believe, for an official launch of Cell 7.
Well, the book will be for sale in Linden Books.
Well, that's okay then. That's all right. We'll be fine. I think actually, you know, there's a special launch, a press sort of package that sort of goes on the 24th that we actually have, which first alerted me to Cell 7 with the interesting sort of logo there of almost the big brother or big sister like eye behind, of course, the three bars indicating that they're in jail or in a cell. So, I mean, clearly it suggests that it's influenced by Big Brother, our current sort of feel that we want instant feedback and other sort of areas. Is it dystopian? Is it utopian? Is it a case of one person's dystopia is another person's utopia? Where would you pitch this?
Well, it's difficult, really. You could say it's dystopian looking at the future, but I kind of think of it as being an alternative present day. So when the decision was made for the death penalty to be abolished back in the 60s, I think, that what would have happened if that hadn't have been abolished then? And that was really where the inspiration for it came from, kind of looking at an event in history and thinking, what would have happened if we hadn't have gone that way? Which way could we have gone? And then you look at the programs like X Factor and things like that, where everybody is influencing people's lives and people's futures. So thinking about how justice could be if people had the sort of that sort of influence on it.
So really a kind of a classic notion there of almost an alternate history, alternate reality perspective.
Yeah.
One of the lines that comes across from your own writing is clearly, you know, we've talked about this before, Carrie, in terms of do you write for young adult? How does it connect together from that point of view? Were there any characters in Cell 7 that you identified with, that you sympathised with, that you sort of thought, yes, I'm not going to kill so-and-so, they're going to live? Or do you think, no, I hate them, I'm going to kill them now?
Oh, that's a tricky one. You do get attached to characters and then you don't want to get rid of them, but the story kind of denotes which way it's got to be and who's got to live and who's got to die. So it can be quite hard, really, if you need to kill off a character that you've grown attached to. There's one character in particular, because this is a series, this, and there's one character in particular in the second one. I can't give anything away, really, but their fate was quite a tough thing to put out there. It's kind of not really what I personally wanted to do, but it's what the story needed.
In his latter years, of course, the writer Philip K. Dick was convinced that effectively we'd never really left the Roman era. We were simply hallucinating that we actually had progressed, and indeed the Roman Empire was still alive and standing.
Really? I didn't know that.
It's just a thought from that perspective. It's all down to perceptions and where we're going on from that point of view. Writing about this gladiatorial scenario, is there something which appeals, or is it a warning? I mean, you could argue one person's dystopia is another person's utopia. Might people say, yes, bring it on, we want more of this?
Yeah, you could do, and you could say that people do want to see justice served, and I often wonder what would happen if we had a referendum, say, on whether the death penalty did come back. And I think there would be some people in society who would like to see that for some crimes. So, yeah, you could argue that. It's interesting. It's interesting to see the way different people view it.
And that whole notion that sometimes reality is more complicated than the images we are shown on TV. I mean, the visual age, I mean, you could argue that television is beginning to come to an end in its kind of in its dominance of cultural impact and so on. But the screen culture, we live in a screen-based culture. I look around the studio, got 3-4 screens that are already there. We've got our mobile phones, we've got our smartphones, we've got all sort of links up from that perspective. Do you feel that, you know, are we simply becoming a society that are, in the words of Baudrillard, a sea adrift in a complex series of virtual symbols? You know, it's a postmodern era and we're simply sort of adrift in the whole thing. We've kind of lost our roots as a culture.
I think it's just a different type of culture, really. I think the danger is that we lose contact with each other because we've become so obsessed with screens, as you say. And that's one thing that the novel ties in with, is the pressure on people with phones and media and everything, and how people can be influenced by media and by clickbait and things like that.
And indeed, looking at the overall sort of process, presumably just because it's bracketed as a young adult area, it's for adults of all ages as well, presumably. You'd be happy for it. It's very important. Is that age sort of thing? No, sorry, it's not in my age range or that point of view. Published, of course, by the fabulous Bonnier Publishing, and released on, as we've already said, the 22nd of September. It's all very exciting as the thing comes through from that. We could give the ISDN number, but we don't know. It's all the, you can actually access web details and various other bits and pieces. Kerry Drury in full, a fine form there. The bookseller actually quotes it as, this powerful thriller oozes suspense and offers a sharp satire on media and celebrity. Certainly looking forward to getting hold of a copy. In fact, we might even include it in one of our Book of the Month podcasts that we actually put together every so often. So great, great stuff there. Kerry, it's been sensational as ever, touching base with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been brilliant. Yes.
So can we hopefully look forward to featuring you again when we've had a chance to read the fabulous Cell 7 when it's released, and come back to you with respect to more details, obviously in a spoiler-free zone, but at the same time...
Yes, we
should definitely sort of look through that. Coming up very shortly, if you want to stay tuned, Kerry, we've got a little musical challenge between Gary Roberts from Men in the Sky, Josh from a whole new band called Community, and Sean Kelly, who'll be judged by SFX writer and editor and indeed ace author of The Blacklist, the Elizabeth Keane dossier, effectively, Tara Bennett. Larry Nemechek will be talking about, literally just a matter of hours before we officially celebrate, Kerry, 50 years since Star Trek first hit television screens.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. 50 English years. Are you a Trek fan at all? It is.
Oh, yes, I love Star Trek, yes.
Original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager?
I'm a massive fan of Patrick Stewart, actually, so I'd have to go with that
next
one.
Next Generation, very good, excellent. Yes. And I take it you will return?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. Thank you
Yay!
Very much.
I want to take you somewhere, so you know I care, but it's so cold and I don't know where. I brought you daffodils on a pretty string, but they won't flower like they did last spring. And I want to kiss you, make you feel alright, I'm just so tired to share my nights. I wanna cry and I wanna love, but all my tears have been used all. It's been used all on another love,
my tears have been used all on another love, oh, my tears have been used all.
Another love. It's coming around to 17 minutes to 6 o'clock here on Siren FM, of course, Lincoln's first community radio station, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive. So we had hoped at this particular stage to be able to welcome to the production from Men in the Sky, Gary Roberts. Clearly he's still in the sky, so he hasn't been able to reach us. Hopefully that will not impact at all in terms of the view of Tara and indeed Larry Nemechek, possibly Phil Leonis, who might sort of be tuned in and sort of want to give us the American sort of perspective in terms of the latest tunes that we're about to listen to. Because clearly it falls to me now to actually hopefully step in to Men in the Sky's Gary Roberts' whole breach and do a little piece in terms of the band themselves and what it's all about, etc. Well, it comes from a borderline sick Frankensteinian obsession to create the perfect fusion of new wave synthesizers and progressive rock guitar. The band has arguably spawned a whole new unique genre in doing so. The songs that we actually listened to were originally written during the classic era of electronic music back in the 1980s. Some 20 years later, and after hundreds of revision, the whole thing has been eventually completed by 2014. So work of a whole range of other sort of factors within that whole thing. Fusing atmospheric synth melodies with driving guitars to produce innovative electronica that draws as much from the jazz blues of Jeff Beck and the funk of Chic as it does from classic British new wave, Men in the Sky's eloquent production aesthetic echoes the classic 1980s output of New Order and the iconic work of super producer Trevor Horn, while the band's guitars recall Depeche Mode's venture into rockier, grittier territory in the late 80s and early 1990s. Men in the Sky. We will try and reach their Man in the Sky before the end of the single, but this is Men in the Sky, version 2.0.
Baby. times a day. Working all the time in a day, but you're living up in a trap.
MITS, MITS 2.0, a British-Canadian collaboration between founder Gary Roberts and Simon Mawson, Gavin Thomas and Chad Montgomery. There we are, you've heard it. Let us know if you want to follow more with MITS 2.0 and we'll see what happens. We haven't managed to locate founder Gary Roberts, but proving that he is a consummate professional and already ahead, I think, in terms of voting status from community, we're delighted to be able to welcome Josh Meller to the production. How are you, Josh?
Hi, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Very good indeed. I don't know if you caught any of Men in the Sky there, or MITS 2.0. Was a kind of 40-year-old fusion of electronic 80s. Did it float your boat, or did you think, well, whatever, whatever?
It sounds very interesting. I'll have to have a listen to a bit more of it, but it's cool.
Nicely put together, Josh. That's it.
80s is trendy at the moment.
1880s. Perhaps we should go back to the romantic era. I don't know, whatever. Josh, you're now connected with the band Community. And that's the thing from that point of view. A band who gigged relentlessly across London throughout the live circuit. You've performed at the Alley Cat Bar, the Spice of Life, the Underbelly in Hoxton Square. And we haven't quite got any kind of original music as yet, but we do have one of your latter classics that it is a joyous number to actually work through, because it actually talks about Corner and a whole heap of other scenarios. My Corner of Earth, from that point of view. And that's not a Community single, that's a Josh Meller single. It's good stuff.
That's one of my own songs. I mean, I've just sort of formed Community and I've sort of stopped doing this acoustic sing-songwriter stuff, but this is one of the songs that I released a few months back, just for my own peace of mind, really.
Well, Josh, if you're kind enough to stay with us whilst we actually introduce this wonderful thing into our mini jukebox jury thing here, we'll find out what sort of people actually make of it. It's My Corner of Earth. I already think it's probably well in the lead for the very simple fact that you're actually online at present. But here it comes. 2 minutes, 57 seconds of sheer genius.
1, 2, 3, 4. The fields I ran through, the trees I climbed when I was a kid, the path that led me home from school. On summer days in my youthful haze. I'd stay out making bows and arrows from sticks. So take me back, 'cause this is my corner of Earth, and I'll keep it close to me until the day that I stop breathing. I'm not leaving. And I'll keep it close to me until the day that I stop breathing. I'm not leaving now. The streets I walk through, the cars that pass me by, the city lights that keep me up all night. This place is something more to me than some faded fantasy. I find my heart, I find my home. So take me back, 'cause this is my corner of earth, and I'll keep it close to me until the day that I stop breathing. I'm not leaving. This is my corner of earth, and I'll keep it close to me until the day that I stop breathing. I'm not leaving. Sometimes I wish I wasn't here. Sometimes I wanna disappear. Same place they tried to frame me. Same place I know made me. 'Cause this is my corner of earth, and I'll keep it close to me until the day that I stop breathing. I'm not leaving. And this is more than just a home to me. This is home to all my memories. I won't let it go. 'Cause this is my corner of earth, and I'll keep it close to me until the day that I stop breathing. I'm not leaving. Corner of earth, and I'll keep it close to me until the day that I stop breathing. I'm not leaving now. No, I'm not leaving now. No, I'm not leaving now.
In one simple word, superb, even with the birdies as well. You know, how much did you have to pay those birds to actually chirrup in the way they did, Josh?
Actually, it was just a few birds that were outside the studio while recording. So I recorded this in the Suffolk countryside.
They may just have been a few birds to your good self, but in many ways they could be part of broadcasting history from that point of view. I can only think of the Beatles and Blackbirds that also has that wonderful little twitty bit at the end, and I don't think they were hanging around just outside Abbey Road when it was being recorded. So, great stuff. Can people still get hold of My Corner of Earth, Josh?
Sorry?
Can people still actually download and purchase My Corner of Earth?
Yes, yeah, it's online. It's on iTunes and Spotify. If you want to go and check it out, along with a previous single that I released called Same Bed, it's still up online.
Excellent. Go to joshmellermusic.com. Now, talk to us a bit more about community, because this is Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. See what we did there? Community. why did you actually decide to develop and take a slightly different angle? I mean, we haven't got any community tracks as yet, but we will hopefully feature them in the very near future. What's the kind of intention behind community?
Like I mentioned before, I sort of spent a while gigging on the acoustic circuit in London, and it was good fun, but I didn't feel like I was doing anything which is new or exciting or impacting on a gap in the market, in the music industry. And I've always sort of loved like indie rock, indie pop. I did a lot of sort of indie pop stuff before I did acoustic stuff. I was in a few indie pop bands. And I kind of sat down and started laying out this material that I've been writing to a completely different format, and it just came across to be something which was actually exciting for me to play, and I didn't think there was a lot of it out there. I don't think there is a lot of it out there. So when I go out and play it with the band, when me and Community, the four other lads that I play with, when we go out and play live, people are really interested in what we're doing, because that's not what people are really hearing at the moment. Mm. And it's something new, which I like.
Well, Josh, we look forward to actually hearing it in the very near future. We've got to sort of wrap up now because we need to actually move on to another artist and supporter that way, Sean Kelly, who's actually joining us in a few moments with their debut single. But have you had an okay telephonic link with us on the programme today, Josh?
I've had a fantastic telephonic link with you.
So are you happy to return in the very near future with some wonderful community music that we can actually feature as well?
Yeah, we've got a live video coming out very soon of a cover, which will be very tasty.
It will be happening.
Yeah,
it will be happening, and we'll keep it going on the Midweek Drive. Josh Mellor, we salute you. Finally, can people access community on Facebook and the usual sort of lines from that point of view? What's the best way to get in touch with the community?
Yeah, if you go to facebook.com/wearecmnty and wearecmnty.com, you could find us there.
CMNTY. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Shortening the whole thing through. Josh Mellor and community will return. Hooray!
Gotta slow me down. Except I'm rolling through. I've been too long out of town. No more chasing tails and staring at the skies. Straight as a die. And as the crow flies.
As the crow flies on Siren FM's Midweek Drive. And as the crow flies, we go directly to the genius behind that. It's Sean Kelly. Sean, how are you?
Hi, Alex. I'm good, thank you.
Good to speak to you, good self. And what can I say? I mean, I think, you know, we had three tunes courtesy of Manila PR that sort of come through in this sort of jukebox jury scenario here. Started off with MITS. And in the Sky, and the 80s electronic, and moved on to a kind of classic track from Josh Mellor before he gets involved with community. And now, of course, your good self, Sean, with that classic little number, As the Crow Flies. So what was the inspiration? Was that a case of, yes, it's worthwhile talking about a crow. I want to talk about dimensions. I don't want to talk about penguins flying, because, of course, they don't. What was the sort of motivation?
Well, how did you know? It was originally called As the Penguin Waddles, but I had to change it to something a little bit more poetic. So it's a very straight, metaphoric love song about driving home to see the one you love.
could almost be ideal for drive time across the universe in so many ways, really. So positive thing from that perspective. Now, clearly, in terms of the way that you've developed, I mean, collective of musicians emerging from the ashes of the indie B-town scene in the heart of the UK, this is part of Sean Kelly and the Returned Gifts, of course.
It's kind of the opposite to what the guy, Chris was his name, who was just on, who was saying that he'd been playing solo and decided, you know, it was more fun to be in a band. And
yes,
I was in a band, and I left it, stopped playing music for about 2 weeks, and then went solo, and then sort of started to recruit people, but I didn't want to be regimented in that band sense anymore. I just wanted anybody who wanted to come along and play to come and play on my records. And so that it was kind of a project that's developed. The first single did quite well, and off the back of that we started to get asked to play live, so it kind of almost turned back into a band again. We still have people sort of dropping in and, you know, helping me when I can't play certain things. So
you can't legislate
like
for genius, Sean. You know, you can't just sort of turn around from that. I mean, it's each of their own from that perspective. You know, Josh is your... I mean, maybe Josh was just working with the wrong kinds of musicians. Maybe it just wasn't connecting at that particular time. You know, he thought...
Or maybe he wanted
to work with... I don't know. It's very confusing. Sean, how do people follow the whole thing through in terms of where you're going? I mean, it's interesting that, you know, clearly we'll be featuring your good self on this radio show. I noticed James Whale has also shown support, which is always quite nice from that point of view.
Yes, that was really good. And I've just been told that BBC Introducing are going to play the new single this weekend as well.
Right.
So play's going well.
I think that
thank you very much to you guys for playing it tonight.
Always delighted to work through that. And I think as the crow fries fly, you see, that's the other thing you could have as the Penguin Waddles or as the crow fries.
Perhaps it's the B-side.
Exactly. You know, it could be way more. Now, do I detect a slight Brummy accent there, Sean?
Slightly.
Just it's okay, because Katie Grimerson, our ace Birmingham correspondent, is always very exciting and excited.
Well, I'm kind of on the outskirts now because I'm quite posh these days. So,
I was on the outskirts of Birmingham yesterday just trying to escape. It was amazing. Yeah,
I love Birmingham. That's where it's all happening at the moment. There's a lot of emerging bands coming out and a lot of big talents in Birmingham, so it's a good place to be for music right now.
Well, actually, historically, there's always been a kind of range there. I mean, if you take bands like Electric Light Orchestra, Moody Blues, of course, and you know, a lot of classic bands emerged from the Second City.
Well,
so
a lot of people think it's just famous for metal, but they forget about bands like Duran Duran, you know.
Yep.
Surely an influence on the first track you played
tonight. You know, you could have been our celebrity judge if you didn't have an entry yourself.
That's what I thought it was originally. I thought I was going to be judging other people's songs.
Feel free to do so, Sean. I'm sure Josh will take it okay. And obviously, as you will have heard, our Men in the Sky correspondent, Gary Roberts, we couldn't connect. Maybe he was literally too far away.
I'd have to take some points off for a nice show. I'm sorry about that.
Well,
I like the song.
Harsh but fair, Sean. You know, I think I'd have to agree with you on that particular one. We'll find out what our American correspondents make of that. We just had an email in from Emma Tinson, who says a big hello from herself, Claire, Mark Jerrison and Mary Dancy. They were just actually graduating because they sort of were having a graduation ceremony today in Lincoln, so it's all very exciting. So
congratulations for them.
And that will have made it all the more worthwhile, just receiving that for your good self, Sean Kelly. Ace to that. Getting in touch with you via Facebook, via online stuff, what's the best way forward, Sean?
The best, simplest way is simply Google Sean Kelly and the Return Gifts, and you will find me on all of the social medias. It's just the best way to get straight to me. It's just to Google the name, because there's nobody else on there with such a daft name, so you find me straight away.
Sean Kelly, no relation to Ned Kelly. It's important from that point of view. So it was, of course, an Australian.
As far as I know.
It's very true. It's great. Or indeed Henry Kelly, perhaps.
Facebook, Twitter, all of that. It's just Sean Kelly and the Return to Gifts. You will happen upon me.
Sean, it's been fabulous touching base with yourself. Now, I'm thinking Birmingham isn't that far away from Lincoln. You should surely get over to Lincoln before too long, and we should sort of see you in the studio and do some live stuff there. So,
I'd love to come up and do a session for you guys.
This is good.
Bring a couple of the gifts with me for the space in the studio. The ones with the smaller instruments, perhaps a harmonica and a jew's harp.
The returned gifts, of course. You know, it's kind of keeping the happiness going. That's the important thing. Sean Kelly and the Returned Gifts. I take it then you've had an okay telephonic link with us today.
It's the best telephonic link I've had all day.
Well, there you go. And indeed, you wrap up our British end before we go over to Los Angeles to speak, hopefully, to Tara Bennett and then Larry Nemeshek and then Phil Leonis. So it's all very confusing here. I think it's 10 a.m. No, it's actually 5 past 10 in the morning if you're in Los Angeles, in Lincoln. And as far as I know, in Birmingham, it's coming up to 5 past 6.
Yeah, that changed.
No,
time difference isn't quite.
I know. It's Birmingham and Lincoln, we haven't quite sort of had that sort of passage of, although many people would say, well, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time. No pun intended. Sean Kelly, we salute you. Take care now.
Cheers, Alex. Thank you.